Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out in sunny West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Cheer. Lord Jesus, we come again together. We come together, Lord, to learn more of you. And we ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and open our minds. Give us the words that you have for us today. That you give us the understanding so that we may go forth and do your will, and be with you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Situation, the joy of the Holy.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. I'm going to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. Actually had a whole bunch of different places showed me this morning, but this one's the one that always seems to stand out. 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Unto fables. Look at the people that call themselves Christians today that are warming pews by the thousands, that are sitting there in that church, not because they're hearing the true word of God, the truth, but because they are hearing what makes them feel good about themselves. Those with itching ears, they don't want to feel bad. All they want to feel is good. They think they are good. If every Christian that calls themselves a Christian got up out of those pews and went out throughout the world and started proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, how many of things that we see going on around the world today would cease immediately? There'd be a revival in this land like no other. People talk about this country and how things are slowly going downhill. Things aren't slowly going downhill. The edge of the cliff is under their toes. That would change. That could change in an instant with a revival that would be the strongest thing ever seen in this country that was founded on Christian principles. The first book that was ever purchased by the so-called Department of Education was the Bible, to teach children how to read. Now there's nothing but flowery worded books so they can feel good, so they can improve their self-esteem, which is a load of garbage. How different would this world be if we listened to these words? Here at Grace Ranch, a lot of this is directed and used on each of us. Think about it. How much long suffering has Davey endured with each and every one of us? Praise God for it. Because without that long suffering, I don't think any of us would be here. I know how I was. If it wasn't for his long suffering, I'd have been gone long ago. But I've learned. Or at least I hope I have. I hope I'm a lot better than I once was. And I hope I'm still getting better every day. Because Lord knows, long suffering is one thing that was needed with me. Probably needed with all of us. Let's continue on. 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. How many people are out there right now sitting in those pews in all of those churches right this very moment that if they were told, go out today and preach the gospel, John 3:16, 17, and 18, there would be more excuses going out of the church than there would be evangelists. Because I've heard those excuses in other churches I've attended. Oh, I can't do that. It's not for me. I'm here, I tithe. There's a million excuses out there. Unfortunately, there's not a million Christians getting up off of their tails and out of the pews and going out on the streets, wherever they may be, and preaching the good news. Just think about it a moment. What a difference that would make around the world, not just here in the United States, around the world. What a difference that could make. Most people would say that's asking too much. Most people would try to justify and make excuses. But that is the truth. And those who do not want to listen to it will become those fables. There'll be those people who stand before the Lord that day and say, "Lord, Lord, but in thy name I did all these things." And he will look at them and say, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity." The choice is everybody's. I choose Jesus Christ. And I hope you do too.
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Head of heaven, lead me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Well, good morning, everybody. A word that popped into my mind the last couple of days. Word Thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about the holiday. I'm talking about the concept of giving thanks. I'd like to read a verse out of Ephesians 5, verse 20. Just going to read the one verse. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word that really stands out in this verse to me is the word always. Because there is always something to give Jesus thanks for. All day long, every single day. The list of things to thank Jesus for is an endless list all the time. And it's really too bad that Jesus does not hear thank you near enough. And that is from me. I spent many, many years of my life calling myself a Christian, considered myself a Christian. And yet the years and the decades went by, and not once did Jesus ever hear a thank you from me. Well, thank you, Jesus, for getting that turned around and showing me that there is so much to thank you for. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, the truth, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your deliverance, and your long-suffering. Of those things I am in desperate need of, always. And all you have to do is take a look around you. And if you see all the things that you can thank Jesus for, as simple as the clothes on my back, the heat that you provide on a cold day, the socks on my feet, it's really too bad. I know a lot of people who don't see that there is anything to thank the Lord for. And I know because for a long time I was one of those people, and from time to time still am. Because I was too busy pouting and wallowing in self-pity about the things I didn't have, didn't get, or something I had and somebody took it away from me. Instead of blaming Jesus and cursing God for the things you don't have, try thanking him for what you do have and what you did get and what is available. If you do that, you may, I'm willing to bet, see something starting to change in your life. If you give thanks. That is all.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, first of all, I wanted to say it was really a blessing to hear Corey's testimony this morning. You know, and it reminded me of Israel when the armies of Pharaoh were bearing down upon Israel, and Israel only had one place to turn their eyes to for that deliverance. And it took the armies of Pharaoh bearing down on Corey for Corey to turn his eyes to the only deliverance that he had. And you saw that deliverance in Corey from that army, and it's a praise the Lord for that. And it is a wonderful testimony to hear that deliverance. And you know, when I heard my brother Steve speak, in addition to my brother Corey speak, a lot of what he said had been going through my mind, which is scary. And something Karen and I had spoken about last night had been going through. And I'd like to turn to 2 Chronicles 7:12, starting at 7:12. And to put this in context, what happened is Solomon had just finished building the temple. And Solomon had just finished the dedication of the temple. And so he made prayer and he made sacrifices. And this is what the Lord had came to him and spoke to him about. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice, that is the temple. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, I want to stop there for a second. When I read 13, I see 13 upon this land. I see verse 13 upon this people or this land called the United States happening. If my people, which are called by my name, okay, those are Christians and Jews, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, when I look at that, that starts with me. That starts with me because I call myself by his name. I call myself a Christian. It starts with me. If I don't humble myself, if I don't pray, if I don't turn from my wicked ways, then how can I expect others to do that? And as my brother Steve said this morning, for him, that is a daily thing. You know, I know for myself, we've jumped into the fire. Now, for those of you who don't know, Karen and I sold our house 12 weeks ago, and it took us 11 weeks and 6 days, or 12 weeks minus a day, to finally get it down here. So we were homeless for that time, but we're finally home. And I know that one thing Steve had mentioned this morning was that, you know, in South Carolina, you have your little places, and all of a sudden, you know, you get to go back to your little sheltered area. For me, that was the same. You know, in Vermont, we'd go up to church on Sunday. We'd come down, you know, I'd go back down to Springfield and live the next 6 days and 20 hours away and come back for 4 hours and not be put back into that fire. For me now, I know I am in that fire. I'm going to be in that fire 24 hours. Well, I got 8 hours in sleep a night, but I'm going to be in that fire quite often. And I know for me, I have not done 14. The fault lies with me. The fault always going to lie with me. Because how can I stand before my God if I'm not willing to do 14? How can I expect others to do the same if I myself am not willing to do this. You know, I look at the political landscape, as my brother Steve talked about this morning, and I see on the left, I see Jezebel, or a woman as Jezebel. On the right, I see someone who is as King Herod, but desires to be King Midas. And when I see that, I know that it is my fault, because just as Bob read from Timothy about having teachers with itching ears, I know that the leaders of this land are a reflection of my heart. They're a reflection of the hearts of the people, because the Lord is giving us leaders after our own hearts. And that scares me. It scares me. Because I see myself in them. Or I see them in myself. You know, the only way that we are going to break forth and take back this land is if we're willing to do 14. And while I may sit there and blame all the others, I know it starts with me. Until I'm willing to do 14, there's going to be no change in this land. And that change starts in here, starts in my heart. And that change, once that comes in my heart, I can then show to others. Let us evaluate ourselves, and let us look to ourselves to see if we are doing that. And when that happens, then we can see that revival break forth. Because unless there is a people who is prepared to stand in that, there's no reason for revival to come forth. We have to show others the ways of the Lord, but we can't show others the ways of the Lord until we ourselves are able to stand in the ways of the Lord. I'd like to say, oh, I'm one of them. I'm not. You know, I see the corruption in me. I see the lack of willingness to stand properly in the Lord. But I don't want to stand there. And that's one of the reasons I'm here. I'm glad to have left Vermont. I had been there over 24 years, and it's a beautiful state, and I like most everything about the land, physically the land, not the people of the land. Except for the ice. I can deal. You could take the ice, and I don't mind snow, just don't have anything with ice in it. But as the winters are in Vermont, the hearts of the people are. They're cold. They're hardened. I'm looking forward to coming back west, being back west, and having that sun melt my heart. And that's S-O-N, sun, melt my heart. Because the only way that I can turn and be melted is by 14, that I can show the love of Jesus Christ to the others.
Morning, everybody. Had some good messages today. Thought I had something to say when I came up here earlier. Well, I thought earlier I had something to say when I came up here. what I had to say probably isn't important, but what the Lord has to say is very important. I heard some good messages from Steve this morning. Heard a good testimony from Corey. Got a good message from Bob. From Carter. From Charlie. They all deal with looking at yourself, starting there, not putting the blame on anybody else or anything else, but starting with yourself is where or why you're not where you're supposed to be in the Lord. And I think I know why most people can't make that jump. It is a jump. It's not a step. You don't step over from being all about self to being in the Lord. You have to jump. You have to leap. A leap of faith. And the key is right here. Philippians chapter 3:13. Have you read a little bit more before this? It'll kind of fill it out. But I'll start with 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I wonder where this earth would be and what condition it would be in if when Lucifer rose up in his iniquity, his pride, and rebelled against God and swayed all the people except a few to his side, so that God had to destroy that earth and do away with it. If he then sat down and boo-hooed and cried for eternity about the big mistake he made. I mean, who's God going to go to ask for forgiveness? Wait a minute, God needed forgiveness? Well, he blew it, didn't he? He left a flaw there with Lucifer, gave him an opportunity to get full of pride, and then couldn't do anything about it because he didn't have death to kill him with. So what was he going to do? Sit down and cry about it? Moan about it? Worry about it? For eternity? If he did, we wouldn't be here. See, we're taught in the churches that God knows everything. Well, Jeremiah makes it clear he doesn't. He didn't know the children of Israel were going to take their children and burn them at the altar of Baal and throw them in the fire. He said he didn't. He said, never entered my mind they'd do such a thing. That proves to me that God doesn't know everything. He doesn't know what you're going to do from one minute to the next because he put in you a free will. A free will is a will that can choose to go left or right, forward or backwards, up or down, or a combination of all. Lucifer chose rebellion. Because instead of looking at the God that created him, he saw himself in a mirror as beautiful and wondrous. And just couldn't understand why people shouldn't love him more. And he began to tell the people what they wanted to hear. And they began to listen. Some didn't, praise God. Today we have preachers doing the same thing. They wear expensive clothes. They look like bankers. They don't look like preachers. They look like bankers. Or they run around in robes looking like priests. Untouchables. Above everybody. They tell the people what they want to hear. And the people love them for it. They love them for it. Not realizing they're all going to go to hell for it. Because instead of looking at the priest or the preacher, they should be looking at God. Instead of looking at one another, they should be looking at Jesus. How do you get past it? Paul tells us right here, forgetting the former things. Forget your mistakes of the past. Forget them. Don't hang on to them. Turn them loose. They're done. They're gone. You can't change them. You can go to Men's Hair Club and get hair planted in your head. Whoopee-doo. But you can't change that which caused the hair to fall out in the first place. Amen, Brother Davies. So let it go. Forget it. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ and move forward. The secret to long suffering is not looking back. If I looked back at everything everybody ever did around me, I guarantee you I wouldn't be here right now. I'd hate to think where I'd be. I wouldn't be here. But by putting your eyes on Jesus Christ and forgetting your past, your mistakes of the past, your stupid things, holding on to the good things that he gave you and did, press toward that mark. Press toward that righteousness which is a free gift from Jesus Christ. That's the key. Because when you look at him and look at yourself, it's easy to humble yourself. I'll guarantee you there's not a person in this room or listening by internet or recording or however you may be hearing this, there is not a person listening that if Jesus Christ didn't stand in front of you right this moment looking like he did to John the Revelator, you wouldn't fall flat on your face as dead. I don't care how holy you think you are or how righteous you think you are. There ain't a one of you that would stand there and say, oh God, aren't you pleased to get to stand before me? We when you see Christ in his power and his glory and his might, I don't care who you are, you're going to fall on your face. So when you see Christ like that, it's easy to humble yourself. Amen? It's easy to humble yourself. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't worry about other people. You can pray for them. You can ask good things for them. You can ask the Lord to move in their hearts and move for them. But you can't worry about them. Because if you're worried about them, number one, you're not operating in faith. And number two, you're not seeking God. You're seeking yourself. So therefore, you're not doing them any good or yourself either. Every day, every day, every day, every day, make a new stand. I mean, how'd that prayer go Jesus gave the disciples? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, or debts as debtors. Depends on what chapter you're reading. You know, it struck me one day, he didn't say, forgive me all my sins of the past. He didn't say that. Forgive me my trespasses. It started out earlier, what? Give me this day my daily, our daily bread. This day, this day. It all deals with this day. Yesterday doesn't exist. It's gone. Didn't exist anymore. It's a memory, and that's all it is. It's gone. Tomorrow is not even here yet. It doesn't exist. There is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. There is only today and right now. That's it. And Jesus says, take care. What? Take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't take thought for tomorrow. You walk today. Every day. So when I pray, it's not, Lord, forgive me all my sins of the past. Every time I do that, I'm denying the fact that he forgave me when I asked him the first time. Amen? But if I ask him, Lord, as you've forgiven me all my sins of the past and forgotten them, forgive me these sins today also, amen. And then put them out of your mind so that you can walk the next day in him. The secret to walking with Christ is day by day. Took me over 40 years to learn that. Maybe some of you will listen to me and learn it sooner. Day by day. One day at a time. That's the only thing Alcoholic Mamas has right. One day at a time. Everything else they teach is kind of slanted or wrong. So you want to move ahead in the Lord. Forget the former things. And don't, like some do. I know we got some people in this ministry that think just because they've accepted the Lord sometime or another, okay, they're cool now. They got nothing else to do. Everything's hunky-dory. Oh, and you can do everything that Paul the Apostle did and go through everything he did, and he still said that he didn't feel he attained. When you can match that, if you can tell me you feel you've attained, okay, I might consider it. But I look at some of you people in this ministry, and I'm not just talking about here, I mean around in different parts of the country, that think they've made it. honey, you're in for a big surprise. You ain't even come close. You got to forget the former things and start over every single day. Maybe two or three times a day. Remember, what I did at 9 o'clock this morning is past. It's gone. One other thing I want to say today. It hits a little bit about what Charles was talking about, his condition of this nation. I've been praying for a long time for judgment on this country. Some people might not like that. But I have been praying judgment on this country. Starting with its leadership. That devil, Obama, who out of one side of his mouth says he's a Christian, on the other side practices Islam. And has tried his best to destroy this country. And the Clintons, Bill and Hillary, have tried to destroy this country because they serve the same master as Obama. I want to see the judgment of God come down on them in a way that nobody can deny. It will be a wonder to everybody that sees it. I proclaim it in the name of Jesus for the sake of God's people in this nation. And people say what they want about Trump. Yeah, he's got his problems. But you know what? God gave Trump, I believe this, he put Trump there as the only candidate that could possibly save this country. Because with everything about him, he does love the Lord. And it ain't fake. He has shown it over the years, secretly and quietly, by his own actions. And while Barack Obama was off playing golf or looking at the Grand Canyon or something, and Hillary was off doing her thing, it was Donald Trump that went down there and took his own money, out of his own money, not government money, his own money, and took relief to those people down there. Where was it, Louisiana? He didn't have to do that. But see, Donald Trump's been doing that kind of stuff for years. It just hasn't been talked about. Is Donald Trump a savior? No. Is he a perfect guy? No. Does he say stupid things every now and then? Yep. So do I. But he's a piece of clay that God can use. He's the only one we've got. So we'll see what happens in the election. That'll be the test. If Trump wins, this country has a chance. If he loses and Hillary takes it, I don't see any hope for this country. Unless somehow or another Christians can stand up. Finally get the guts to speak out. Preachers can finally speak out from the pulpits against what's going on. Right now they're afraid because they've signed a contract with the government. They've signed a contract with the government. And in this contract they promise not to speak against the government. or they'll lose their 501c3 determination. I don't care about it. By constitutional right and by law, we are exempt. We don't have to sign a contract. But the lies that they've been fed make the churches believe they have to. Don't buy it. Hey, preacher out there listening to me, if you're under a incorporated church, get out of it or destroy the corporation and start over. If you want to follow God. If not, stay where you are. What was it to me? I don't care. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. If it hoodwinks the whole world, I'm going to serve the world. Not the Lord. Yeah. Scratch that one. And that's all there is to it.
Oh,
flow like a river from heaven, abounding in love to my soul. A blessing and honor are His, a glory and power are His. Let all wisdom and strength be the Lord in His place. Let all glory be given to Him. There is joy in the Lord. There is love in the Spirit. There's hope in the knowledge of Him. There's a fountain that flows like a river from heaven, abounding in love to soul. A blessing and honor are His, a glory and power are His. Let all wisdom and strength be the Lord in His place. Let all glory be given to Him. There is joy.
Lord Jesus, we just thank You for these messages. We thank You for these words. We thank You for their meaning. We thank You for the understanding. Most of all, Lord, we thank You that as we exit and go out into the world, that You'll be with us, that You'll be supporting us, that Your grace will be upon us, that we may do Your works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That saved a wretch
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.